Well, good morning, church. There's an old joke they say about preachers that say each preacher is allowed three or four inconclusions to every sermon. We have a reputation for saying that and keeping on preaching for just a little while. This week, we are going to have our first inconclusion for the Sermon on the Mount. But for the next few weeks, we will be looking and how Jesus chose to end the sermon. And he does so with four insightful, convicting, and very important pictures. Each one of these pictures acts as a summary of all the sermon and acts as a call to action on the information and what Jesus has preached up to this point. Our first in conclusion, our one for this morning, is in Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. These are the words of the Lord for us today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you, for you have given us light and life. Thank you for your Spirit, who draws us unto salvation, your Son who made a way for us when there was no way. Thank you for the call you have placed on our lives and the empowerment you have given us through your Spirit to live out that call in grace and in power. And may we hear your word today. May we be strengthened in the inmost parts of our being to live out what you have called us to. May you teach us according to your word today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Jesus here begins with a command, a short command, sweet, simple, yet impactful. Enter by the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. It is simple, yet should draw us to conviction. I want to, for a second, let the beauty and simplicity of what Jesus says here sink in. This is something we can all picture. You're walking down a road, and all of a sudden you get to a decision point in this road. To one side lays the broad road. It's a gate, broad and easy. Many people are streaming through it. To follow the flow of traffic means you will follow right along through this gate. Yet on this side, over here, there's a narrow gate. Small. So small you might miss it were you not looking for it. The beauty of the picture Jesus gives us lies in this practical simplicity. Jesus says, choose and enter the narrow gate. One thing I learned quickly in preaching is you've got to be very careful when you select pictures and illustrations in a sermon. But you have to have pictures and illustrations in a sermon. But if you're not careful, these pictures can take over and become something bigger than the sermon itself and something that's all people remember. A long time ago, I was preaching a sermon on prayer, specifically James. And in James, I actually talked about this a few weeks ago. You ask, but you do not receive because you ask wrongly for your worldly passions. So I remember sitting there thinking, how do you illustrate this? What's a picture I could use? And I just found one, I thought of one, that I thought I was so clever. Man, I hit it out of the park. This is one of the best sermon illustrations I've ever used. I said, many of us, we get mad at God when he doesn't answer, but it's because we're asking for wrong things. So he says, I'll tell you a story. And I proceeded to tell this story. This was my sermon illustration about how someone, they went to a dealership and they wanted a minivan. And every time they talked to a salesperson at this dealership, they got increasingly more upset because no one would help them get a minivan. And the punchline, the kicker of this story was, the reason is this person was at Barnett's Harley Davidson, and so you can't buy minivans there. I'll tell you what, I was proud of that picture. I said, this is it. This is perfect. But in my pride, I learned that pride comes before the fall. I had a lot of people come up to me after the sermon to talk about the sermon. But instead of talking about the finer points of what was said, how this would help them pray with more fervor and passion, how they understood how and what they should approach God for, everyone wanted to talk about Barnett's Harley Davidson or the ordeal of buying a new minivan. And I learned that a bad picture can become a distortion and take away from the focus of a more important message. But a good picture can take the point of what's being taught and give it hooks, can make it stick. It can help us understand things that might be more difficult or harder to take in another way. A good picture can help explain a lot. I don't claim to be an expert in developing these pictures. I've messed up more times than I care to admit. But I will say that I think I can tell a good one when I see it. And this here is a perfect illustration given to us by Jesus. What Jesus gives us here become hooks in our brain for the content of almost the entire sermon that came before it. And he sums it up with a command. Enter by the narrow gate. So today I want to spend some time looking at this picture, understanding what Jesus says, and then applying that to the sermon and into our lives. And so as we hear these words, we see that all of life, Jesus, the picture Jesus paints, summarizes all of life and shows us that all of life boils down to one of two options. These are it. Here in this picture is all of life, all of humanity. Either we follow through the narrow gate Jesus commanded, or we go ahead and enter through the wide gate, which becomes everything else. Let's first turn our attention to the wide road, the highway. It is a highway. Many of us has very limited interaction, I guess, with gates in and out of cities. Not many of us have lived in or around a walled city, so we're not familiar with what that feels like, but this is something I think we all are familiar with. We know highways. Jesus said, the gate is wide and the way is easy. That sounds like a highway to me. It's a wide road, paved down and widened and designed for faster travel in mind. If you've ever seen the movie Cars, but there's a scene when all the citizens of Radiator Springs are talking to Lightning McQueen about what it was like when they first built the interstate. And they were talking, and there's a scene where they're reflecting on the building of the interstate. And if you watch it, it's very interesting. There's all these rolling hills and mountains and valleys. And as they build the interstate, they carve gouges in the mountains and they build bridges over the valleys so that instead of a winding fun road to drive on, you have this highway. They flatten it, they get rid of the hills, they raise up the valleys, to quote the movie, all just to save a few minutes of driving. Jesus says, that's the wide road. The wide road has room for a whole host of people. There are many on this road, Jesus tells us. This way becomes so wide. This highway is so broad. It can include anyone's thoughts and ideas. The wide road says, hey, do what works for you. There's room for you here on this road too. And I'll do what I want. You do what you want. We'll all be okay. This way is very easy. There are no demands on you. On this highway, there is a slow lane, a fast lane, a HOV lane. We got shoulders to pull off on. This wide road has all you think you need. However you want to live on this highway, go for it. Heck, if you want, we'll add another lane just for you. Just try your best. Heck, don't even try your best. Do whatever you want. The highway. The picture Jesus paints, it's easy. This broad road, it's cake. There's no troubles, they say. But, there's a huge qualification Jesus makes. It's a highway, it's easy. It leads to death. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. This destruction becomes death of every kind. Earthly death, yes. We could pick probably 100 examples if we wanted to show that that which is easier often leads to death. Just to name a few I thought of, this is off the top of my head. Is it easier to wear a seatbelt or to not wear a seatbelt? Well, it's much easier to not wear a seatbelt. You don't do anything. That leads to death. If you've ever been on a construction work site or worked in that type of thing, it's much easier to ignore safety rules and practices and not make sure everything's locked out and make sure you're doing all these things. It's easier to not do that, but that will lead to death. The easier way often leads to death on earth. But what Jesus has in mind here is something much more powerful. There is a spiritual death at the focus of this teaching. To everyone who says, you know, Jesus was a nice guy. He just wanted to love people. He doesn't say the hard things. Well, here's a saying from Jesus. If you live for self, a life of ease in thought, a life of ease and doing what you want, you will end up in destruction, dead. Can we be frank this morning? What Jesus is saying, hell. We shy away from these hard teachings, difficult teachings, but here it is, plain as day. The way is wide and easy on the pathway to hell. Do whatever it is you think you're doing, and that is where you are headed. In 1979, I Googled it. I wasn't alive then, but I know that this is when the song came out. AC/DC wrote a song called Highway to Hell. They looked at this as something to be made light of. But sometimes the world actually gets their theology right. And there is much truth in the song Highway to Hell. But the teaching of Jesus is not that there's a select few on this highway. Jesus is, to miss the narrow way is to be on the highway to hell. And this should cause us all pause. When we think about the truth of this picture, two things should pop up in our mind as we think about this wide road. One, praise to God for his graciousness towards me. For this was me. I was on this road. I was on the highway to destruction and death. I thought a life lived for myself in pursuit of what I wanted. And my desires was a fulfilled life. And in reality, that life was leading towards my own destruction. But God, according to his infinite grace and mercy, saved me and made me new. Here's another thought that should spring to our minds. This thought that this highway, this wide road leads to death and destruction should give us even more reason, as if you needed more, to spread the gospel to all those around us. For they are headed face first, headlong into death and destruction. I was reading one of my commentaries, and it said this: all those who travel down the wide road do so at their own leisure at an ever-increasing rate. But what they do not know is that it will one day end at a cliff. And the most unfortunate fact is that though the road ends suddenly, all those who travel on it will find themselves off the edge of the cliff and into their own demise. Church, we have an obligation, a duty, to tell as many people that we can about the consequence of the road that they are traveling down. But we do so in love and compassion, a heart moved to care, a heart of sympathy, a heart that says, I know where this road leads. You have to trust me on this. It leads to death. Here's the highway. The broad road that leads to destruction is a truth. It's a spiritual truth that describes life. And we should be keenly aware of it. But now we turn our attention from the wide road to the narrow. If the highway leads to destruction, we can look at the narrow road as more of a path. I stole this kind of picture from the greatest preacher of all time, a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. He talked about the turnpike to death and the bridle path to life. Since he lived longer ago, we modernized his phrases a little more. But the picture here, excuse me, the picture here is this. The wide road, the highway, is compared to something much smaller and more difficult. It's a path, it's a trail. Just yesterday, Jane and I went hiking. This was not a difficult hike, it was a fun day hike. But even in that, there was a very stark difference between the road we drove to the trail and the trail once we got on it. First thing to notice, it's much more narrow. Where there was room for a vehicle on the road, now there wasn't even room for Jade and I to walk side by side. It's more difficult. It's not paved. It has loose rocks and ruts and even larger rocks that must be climbed over. And this is the picture Jesus uses. Can we be honest for just a second? To follow Jesus is difficult. It's a quote by G.K. Chesterton. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It is found difficult and left untried. This path we walk, just a look at the Sermon on the Mount shows us to be the case. We can start at the Beatitudes. Jesus said, to live in a kingdom is to live a life counter to what the world would say. It's to mourn. It's to be poor in spirit. It is to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Life in the kingdom is to be a life lived as salt and life, not losing one's saltiness by the corruption of the world and not losing the ability to shine by not being among the world. To live in the kingdom is to live an exceedingly righteous life, nay, a life that is perfect. It is a life spent practicing righteousness in giving, in prayer, in fasting. It's a life spent in total dependence on God, not being anxious, but instead learning to trust in Him in all things. Church, the narrow road, this path is hard. To turn away from the Sermon on the Mount to other scriptures, we see it can get even harder. James would say, count it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, For we know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness will grow, and eventually you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In the Christian life, we will face trials. We will face difficulty. The path we are called to walk down is difficult. Being a Christian does not mean, and help us out on this, being a Christian does not mean that from now and forever, all things will always be perfect in all portions of our lives. Being a Christian does not mean that difficulties will not arise. Being a Christian does not mean we will experience from now to the end of time unencumbered happiness. Being a Christian does not mean that we will live our best life now. Being a Christian means striving after God. It means joy in the midst of trials. It means hope in the midst of tribulation. It means perseverance and leading and guiding by the Holy Spirit in the midst of whatever life throws our way. It means being able to say, though this is difficult, though this is hard, I follow Christ and all is good. The path is narrow. The way is difficult. Why do we follow it? This path leads to life. Jesus tells us, here are your two options. Here's the wide road. It leads to death. Here's the hard road. It leads to life. Choose life. The message of the Sermon on the Mount, the message of the gospel, the message of Scripture is this: it will be worth it all one day. One day, the trials, the struggles, the hardness, the difficulty, one day it will be worth it all, for this road, this path leads to life. Life abundantly now and life forever in heaven. Here's what's beautiful about this. All of this is the free gift of God. There is a fine tightrope that we have to walk here. For life is not earned. Life is not earned by our ability to walk through the gate and follow it on our own might. Life is given to us by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. However, once we have tasted that mercy and grace, we are called to then lay aside all else and seek after Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because the gospel is free. Being saved is free. Eternal life is free. Yet it will cost us everything. There's one book I read every year. Some may say that means it's my favorite. Maybe it is. It's called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I quote it often. I think it's a very good book. And in this book, he begins by describing the difference between what he calls cheap grace and costly grace. When we talk about the narrow road here, we are talking about costly grace. He describes cheap grace as grace that allows a man to stay as he is. Cheap grace, he describes as a sort of pill that makes you feel better but does not fix the root problems. Cheap grace is grace that doesn't call us to do anything, doesn't challenge us to live differently. But then he moves on to describe costly grace, and I want to share this quote with you. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life And it is grace because it gives man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, but it is grace because it justifies the sinner above all. It is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. Ye were bought with a great price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. And above all, it is grace. Because God did not reckon his Son too high a price to pay for our lives, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. When we talk about living a Christian life and saying it's hard and it's difficult, this is true. But even this gives given to us by the grace of Jesus Christ. To follow Christ is completely free. It cannot be bought. You cannot earn it. It is given by grace. But to follow Christ will cost you everything. Paul would say in Ephesians, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the free gift of God, lest anyone should boast." But in the same breath, he would say this, "We are now God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared in advance that we should walk in them." The picture that Jesus is painting here is not one of, just come follow me, all will be okay. Jesus would say later, he'd say in Luke, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. The narrow way is hard, I'm going to be honest. Many of us know this to be true. I'll encourage you, the words of Jesus here, enter by the narrow gate, for this leads to life. This I have learned. A life spent following after Christ, I would never call it easy. But I will always say, is the only true life you could ever live. Church, follow after him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you go down the difficult path we are called to walk, do so knowing in this there is life and life more abundantly. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, for all you do for us and in us, for your grace and mercy towards us. You've been good to us. God, help us. Help us every day to seek after you. God, show us the narrow paths of life. Give us grace when we stumble and fall. Help us to seek after you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.